Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Strong Mom Podcast. I am your host as always, the mighty Mamacita Marisa, coming to you from behind the mic. And I am joined today by a very special guest, Marisol Swords. She is a stress and coach, a stress management coach, which is really awesome because we all deal with stress in life. I don't care if you have kids, you don't have kids, you have a job, you're a stay-at-home mom, we all have stress and we all deal with that differently. Some do a better job than others, and today we're going to learn all techniques to help us overcome those issues. How are you, Marisol?
I'm doing good today. I hope you're doing well as well.
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for coming on. I think as a mom and as a competitor, it's really important to understand how we deal with stress, how to overcome certain issues and not just become overwhelmed by them, which then bleeds into every other aspect of our life. So if you could just briefly talk about your background, what is a stress management coach? Just give us a little background on all of that.
All right, no problem. I'll be as brief as possible because being from New York, you obviously know I can talk. But stress management coaching is basically teaching people how to deal with the daily stresses of life. We come out of childhood not knowing without any tools or language on how to deal with the stresses that we're going to encounter into adulthood. So being a stress management coach in my realm specifically is teaching teens and kids how to deal with the stress that they're going to encounter going to college, paying bills and things like that, because no one really teaches us how to do that. And I got into it specifically because of that. I was a young, stressed out kid and with a stressed out life, thrust into the world, you know, had a kid young, and I had to learn how to deal with life without being, I don't know, how do I put this, a violent person. Because it's literally easy to go out there in the world and just want to yell at everything and just approach everything with anger, but we really can't do that. So stress, being able to manage that stress and channel that energy in the moment or in other ways later helps us to better cope with just daily life.
And what is the difference between like stress management and stress reduction? Obviously, we're all going to have stress. Different things that stress me out may roll off of the shoulder for somebody else. So what is the difference between those two things?
Stress management is knowing what your triggers are and knowing how to deal with those triggers when they take place. Stress reduction is how we choose to channel this excess energy that we all accumulate from having stressful days. Because, all right, we may have a trigger, several triggers throughout the day, and we may or may not choose to react to those triggers. That energy is either bottled up or it's either expended. We need to do something. It needs to go somewhere, because that energy is literally the stress that we feel, that wound up, pent up anxiety that we go through. So stress management is about how we choose to react to change our learned behaviors and reactions to the stress that happens in the moment of the day. And stress reduction is about how we choose to expend and discharge all that excess energy and how we choose to basically channel it into something better.
Yeah, I think you said something really key there. It's like learned behaviors. So growing up in certain households, you might learn, okay, I'm learning from this type of person who stresses over every little thing. I talked to you off record a little bit about like my daughter's a worrywart. Every little thing stresses her out. And I'm not like that. So I kind of find myself yelling at her a lot. So it's like, stop it. Why are you doing that? And I know that's obviously not going to be helpful. There's no rule book. You know, all of us, you know, manage things differently. So as a parent, you know, how do you deal with stress management for kids when we're all coming from different places and different learned behaviors?
Oh, this is a good question. Your daughter sounds similar to my daughter. My daughter was a worrywart. She still to some degree is a worrywart, but she, thank goodness, has learned mechanisms to cope with the worry of the moment. The best thing that my daughter learned was options. I would give her options. If she's worried about something, I'm like, well, how would you like me to correct it so that you're not so concerned about it? Give her options for it. Also, I've found that all parents try to teach their kids things. Now, stress management is my thing. Powerlifting is your thing. But I don't know about you. I hired a different stress management coach to teach my kid because she's my kid. The information that's coming from me, even though it's good, she may not accept it because it's coming from mom. So I'm a huge advocate of hiring someone else to teach my kids something I already know. No, doesn't shame me at all. So I hired someone to teach my kid these same stress management techniques, learning to look at what's around you, to be in touch when they're worried about what's in the moment, learning to look around you, be with what's in touch and what's real, and then finding out what your other options are rather than being worried about an outcome that may or may not exist. Because what the worry warts are worried about are things that literally are outcomes that 99.9% of the time don't take place. And if you present them with that reality that what you're worried about literally is something that probably won't happen, they'll realize that in the moment. It sometimes springs them out of it, and then you can present them with other options, think different focuses of that same attention.
So coming from, like, your daughter probably sounds a lot like mine, where she opens up a lot. Okay, I have my son, on the other hand, flip the script a little bit. My son is a type, I can ask all day long. You can see something is wrong. There's something going on. Eyes start to get watery. Completely shuts down.
Shutting down versus opening up.
Yeah. And how do you break through that? How do you start teaching communication? Because obviously he's young, but that kind of shutting down is going to carry over into other relationships, maybe relationship with a spouse, relationship with a boss. And that can be super negative, obviously, for the person that's shutting down, but also for the other person involved in that relationship. If I don't know what's going on and you're mad at me for whatever, and you're starting to build resentment, well, that's going to make everything around you fall apart. So how do you break through that? How do you deal with, you know, teens that are like that, or young children where you already kind of see that that's kind of the personality that they have?
I very much intervene by leading via example. You sent me something beforehand and I wrote a little bit about this. We have this, as parents, we have this ridiculous pressure on us to, like, appear perfect to our kids. Like, our past mistakes didn't happen. Right. So the first thing I do, because I didn't just raise my daughter. I have nieces and nephews coming out my ears that I've been raising since I was a kid. So I've been dealing with kids and these types of things for a long time. The first thing I always do is lead by example and let the kid know, yo, I've been there. I've been through what you're going through. I've had that feeling. You may not have the words right now. Let me help you find them. Let me help you find the words. I know you're frustrated. I've been frustrated to where I didn't have the words and all I wanted to do is cry. You know what else is okay? To not have the words and just cry. Sometimes we need to give permission to just let kids feel things because we put them under so much pressure to just keep it moving. And yeah. we don't give them pause. And sometimes that builds up. That's what builds up as stress in our kids. It's so much stuff. Go, go, go. We keep it moving. We don't give them pause to process and experience things in the moment. So your son will be walking around with all this. He probably doesn't even have the words to tell you what's going on and why he feels like that. This could be just pent up at all of these things are happening. Lost the soccer game last week. Got a C on the thing when my friend said that thing. Got my lunch taken. I got into a fight at school. And he's at the end of the week, doesn't even have the words or the tools to express this to you. So he might just need permission to cry.
Yeah, and I think some of that too, when you say permission to cry, some of that, it's overcoming cultural learned behaviors as well, because, right?
We're taught, like, yo, keep it moving, dust yourself off.
Yeah.
You're a rubber boy, you're going to bounce back.
Yeah.
We need to break those cycles. We need to teach them better. It's not a bad thing to experience emotion.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to let it process and let it go through you as long as we continue to move forward.
So how do you then talk to parents as a stress management coach, or maybe coming from separate households or dealing with extended family, you know, as we were saying, like, it's okay to cry. Well, I tell you it's okay to cry, but you go to grandma who's like, oh, no, mijo, boys don't cry. Dad, oh, nah, you know, boys who show emotion are like this. You know, you don't want to be this type of boy.
Yo soy la rebelde in my family, okay? Because I will go up against the elders. I will protect. In my family, I kid you not, they tell you all the time, I'm a pit bull, I'm a bulldog. The nickname before my mom passed away between me and my sisters, I was the general or the colonel or something like that, because I don't care, I would fight you, especially when it comes to my kid. You're not going to tell my kid, you're not going to come in and tell me that the way I'm raising my kid is wrong when you don't even know how you raised me was right. And I acknowledge the foundations that you gave me because I wouldn't be the person I was. I am right now. However, I'm trying to learn better, which is exactly what y'all taught me. And I'm trying to teach my kid better, which is exactly what y'all taught me. So don't get in my way.
Yeah, I think that's like a really important thing to touch on as well, is knowing if you were raised a certain way that this is how, what the outcome was, trying to then change those patterns so that you don't repeat that as a parent with your own kids. And I think as a parent, it's really hard to flip that switch when you're raised a certain way, but also recognizing, well, it may not, yeah, I turned out okay, but let's make sure that my kids turn out better than okay, and that they're able to cope and deal with it better than I was able to cope and deal with those things. As a stress management coach, what techniques do you teach kids, you know, aside from, you know, maybe crying? Is there other techniques that kids are taught for stress management?
99.9% of people don't know how to breathe. They just don't know how to breathe. I kid you not. You as a powerlifting coach and all the videos you watch, you have to know most people can't breathe.
Yeah, it's breathing and bracing. That's the first thing we teach.
Yeah, breathing and bracing. I mean, I'm ridiculous when it comes to learning new things. I actually am a certified powerlifting coach, even though I don't coach people. I got certified just so I could know everything that I need to know so I can practice at home. And they taught me this thing about laying down to teach the breath and the brace and stuff like that so that you can get the feeling and then try and take that feeling into standing up. Well, Similar breathing practices that go into exercising can go into managing your stress. The reason why we're breathing is because breath supports the body, breath supports the diaphragm, breath supports the spine when we're lifting. So when we're breathing, breath supports the mind, breath supports the heart. If you're taking your breath in correctly, there's one specific breathing technique that is so simple. I teach it to three-year-olds and they get it. It's super easy. I call it parasympathetic breath, but, you know, for them, I just call it short breath, long breath, because, you know, that's a long word.
Because they're three.
Yeah, short breath, long breath. It's when you take a breath in through your nose and you hold it. We don't hold our breaths, we suspend it. So you take a breath in through the nose and you feel that lift and you suspend it for a moment. And then you exhale very slowly out your mouth, 3 to 5 times as long as it takes you to take that inhaled breath. And the reason why we do that is because there's a natural biological response that our body has to that breath. That's why it's called parasympathetic breath. It activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of our nervous system that tells us to calm down. So no matter what's going on in the moment, something could be really, really stressful. You need to take at least 1 or 2, maybe 3, 4, take 10, I don't care, of those breaths so that you can have a moment to have a more calm response rather than an automated learned response. And that's one of the first things I teach people is how to breathe.
And that's something that you teach as soon as you're feeling that anxiety, that stress, just breathe.
Just breathe. And another thing I teach, the second thing after breathing, is how to ask for help. Because I'm a strong mom. You're a strong mom. This is the Strong Mom Podcast. We teach our kids that they have to be so strong. But we don't teach them it's okay when they're not. We don't teach them the other side, that sometimes you're still strong even when you gotta ask for help.
Yeah.
I have panic attacks. I have very bad panic attacks. Everyone who knows me knows I'm this thugged out, I'm so hard, I'm from New York and da-da-da-da, whatever. Everyone who knows me also knows I have panic attacks. And if it's a random time and you know I'm not gonna call you and I'm calling you and I'm ringing your phone off the hook, I'm probably having a panic attack and I'm reaching out to you. And this strong thug needs help. And I have a whole entire cadre of strong, strong women that I reach out to at different times and different moments, because I've built this community, this network for myself, because these people help me. And I know that I came from strong people. So I knew that I had to build a strong community in order to maintain my own strengths. So not just teaching our kids to be strong mentally and physically, but teaching them, oh, you're still strong even if you need help.
And where do they go if they don't feel like they have a community of anybody to reach out? Maybe they don't want to talk to their mom, or they don't have any friends, or they feel like they don't have any friends. I think it's much harder. Like, as an adult, we can rationalize, okay, I'll call this, or I'll call my pastor, I'll call, you know, so-and-so. But, you know, for some teenagers where they feel like, I don't have anybody and I don't want to talk to my mom.
So I had a similar situation like this. You know, it sounds great. It sounds wonderful on my resume. I was a stress management coach in South America, but my daughter was very isolated down there. She didn't have a lot of friends. She didn't speak the language. And she was really isolated down there. We as parents right now in 2018 are reluctant to let our kids have quote unquote screen time, right? You're on the screen too much. You're playing the game too much. Sometimes those things are their communities. Now, yeah, we need to monitor them. And of course, stranger danger, all this internet awareness, things that we, you know, practice as moms and parents and things. But sometimes those things are their communities. That online outlet gave my daughter a friend when she was down there. And that was literally her sole friend. And when she couldn't, she wouldn't, even though she and I are very close, when she felt like she couldn't confide in me because she was upset with me or whatever, because it happens. It happens when she's like, you know, fuck you, mom. Sorry, my bad. It's okay. That's the bra coming out. Whenever she's like, forget about you, mom, she would go to this friend. And I'm grateful that she had this online platform to meet this friend and be online. I monitored it. I made sure this person was really who they were. And I did all the things that I was required to do as a mom. And now this person's coming to visit us for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
But this person was literally her only friend for the time that she was down there because she had trouble making friends down there. So I guess I'm saying, like, allow your kids to form their connections however they need to form them. It's 2018. There's new things happening that we don't understand. There's new platforms coming out every freaking day. I had to get a Vero account because they're going to start charging and I don't even use this thing. I don't understand. I feel older and older the more platforms they come out with. But our kids know these things and our kids use them to create communities and connections and networks that they can rely upon each other as long as it's safe.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point because I tend to get on my son a lot. Like, have a friend, like have an actual person that, you know, you can talk to, but he's very big on Xbox and online gaming and, you know, they're all friends. Now, you know, like you said, you have to monitor to make sure it's not, you know, some 50-year-old crazy. Absolutely. But I guess stepping outside of our old mindedness and realizing, well, you know what, these are his connections, they are his online friends, and you know, maybe he can talk to the online friend, then he's not going to open up to me, and in that sense solve some, you know, anxiety and stress issues that he would probably never open up to me about.
That gives him a communicative outlet that is other than you, so that takes the burden off of you to constantly trying to figure out what's going on in his head, because he has someone to talk to. And especially with men and boys, we need to raise our men to understand that it's okay to rely on your friends.
Yeah.
Like, because guys have relationships with their friends different from women. Like, I rely on I rely on my ladies. Like, I don't know if you're on my Instagram or I love my ladies. Yeah. I know they feed me energy from every freaking direction. They support me. I was raised by strong women and I have them in my life. Guys don't, they go play ball with their friends. They don't sit down and have those deep conversations and get introspective and call each other on certain things. And, you know, they don't do that. So it's important for us to teach our young boys that we're raising better communication skills. It's okay to have friends. It's okay to go to your friends and talk to them about real things that are bothering you. It's okay for men to have emotions. I have no sons.
Yeah.
I had nephews. You have a son. We really need to teach our boys this because it's something that's an issue now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I liked also how you talked about another technique was movement technique to work through stressful situations. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. Moving meditation is one of my favorite subjects. So traditionally, people think of yoga. When you think of moving meditation, people think of yoga asana because, you know, think of a yoga class and the teacher's like, you know, connect your mind to your breath and your movement and flow and things like that. But I take it outside of that realm because I started practicing yoga and martial arts at a very, very young age. And I finally got certified as a yoga teacher when I was living in South America. But I took it a step further to apply, and I know a lot of people do this, but still, that same mindset of connecting your breath and your movement and your mindfulness to, you know, to the practice, to the current moving practice that you're doing as a moving meditation. And this is having a moving meditation that you can go to discharge built up stressful energy from the day makes it, this is that's stress reduction. That's how we do our stress reduction, having something that we can go to. And I personally also practice meditation and mindfulness, but again, that's based on how I grew up. A lot of people can't sit still, and that's perfectly fine. I will coach them otherwise. Yo, you can move and still meditate. As long as you're 100% in the moment of what you're doing, in the activity, not thinking about what you just came from, not thinking about where you're going to, and you're connected to your breath, and the activity is everything. You're meditating, even if you're moving. And having that connection to your movement and being able to expend all of that energy, it allows you to just let things brush off your shoulder the rest of the day. Ah, that guy flicked you off in traffic. Ah, whatever. He's, you know, I hope you have a good day, dude. Like, yeah.
And is there like a time frame for this moving meditation? Is there like, okay, well, or is it just kind of whatever? If it's 1 minute for you, that's 1 minute that reduces your stress.
It's literally whatever you can do. I kid you not. People, we take on so many external expectations, and it's like, oh, I have to meditate at least 5 minutes a day. I have to, you know, sometimes I'm in your power building club.
Yeah.
And I love it. But sometimes I can only do the powerlifting days. I can't get to the bodybuilding days. I don't guilt myself afterward, be like, damn, I only did 3 days this week. I'm like, yo, 3 days was good. It's whatever. It's literally whatever you can do. It's not positive thinking, because I can't stand when people, oh, think positive. It's not even about that. It's about celebrating the fact that you're breathing.
Yeah.
It's about doing every moment with gratitude. And accepting what you're capable of, period. As like, look, this is what I can do. Because, I mean, I'm not, obviously, if you can't tell, I'm not a competitive person. So, for this situation, we're talking about kids right now, because I know you're fixing to hit me with that competitive question.
you knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. We have to remember that we're not always competing with anything, not even ourselves. Sometimes just what we can do is enough.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. But then sometimes you do have to flip the switch. And as someone who is a competitor in powerlifting, or for other people out there that are competing, you know, your body doesn't know the difference between working out, stress from the day, stress from your kids, stress from money. Stress is stress. Your body doesn't know the difference. But what about stress management for the competitor, for that person that gets out on that platform or gets out, you know, to run that race, and it's just, they crumble.
So stress management for the competitive soul, it, like I said to you previously, it becomes about self-care. When someone is really competitive, their drive and their focus is just like through the roof. And you know, look who I'm talking to, like that drive, you like, and then on top of it, y'all are competing at this ridiculously high level. You have people like me looking at you like, oh my gosh, if I could just lift 150 pounds on my deadlift, I'd be happy. Right? Yeah. And you're like, damn it, I missed 405.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you put it in that perspective of you missed 405, I'll never hit 405.
Girl, don't say that.
Oh no, I won't. I got way too many martial arts injuries. I'm not even trying. I literally lifting is my stress management.
Yeah, I know you were saying that. The power building is your movement meditation.
It is. It really is. I don't lift for numbers, because one, I'm not competitive, and two, I don't do it for the numbers. I do it because it helps me in this world to not be out there just kicking bitches in their shins straight up, but just being foolish, because people are literally foolish. And I work in the service industry, and as much as I love my people, sometimes people will say things without thinking, and it can be a trigger.
Yeah.
You're not careful.
Yeah.
So when
those trigger moments happen, is that just where it's like, okay, just breathe? Trigger moment, need to just breathe.
It's funny you should ask. I had a trigger moment yesterday. Because if you can't tell, I'm fiery. I am. I am. I've toned down a lot, but I'm still from the Bronx.
Yeah.
And I had a trigger moment yesterday where I had to put someone in their place so hard. I literally had to tell him he didn't exist to me until he brought his energy to the right level.
Yeah.
But in order for me to do that, to get to that point where I could even say a word to him calmly without raising my voice, I had to definitely stop, look at the situation, assess the situation, what's real right now before I panic, because I will have a panic attack. Because sometimes, like I said, I have panic attacks, and things like what was going on in that moment would have been a trigger for one of my panic attacks. So I stopped. I assessed what was real. Was I in danger or not? I looked around the situation. I saw who else was in the room, and I addressed other people in the room. I had to stop and take several breaths before I could even proceed. And everyone in the room saw me do it. That's another thing. Don't have judgment for yourself, and fuck everybody else's judgment. Because I keep suffering with panic attacks since I was a kid. The number one issue was like, oh my God, I look like a crazy person out here. Thank God I don't deal with that no more. I don't care if I look like a crazy person. I'm going through something. You're human too, and you've gone through something before, and I bet you would want compassion in return.
Yeah, exactly. I think you touched on something like really important when you said, I assessed the situation and I wasn't in danger. So there are times where stress can be good. Stress elicits the flight or fight response. And sometimes the stressful, you need to know, okay, I need to get out of this situation because, you know, so differentiating between good stress and bad stress.
Differentiating between good stress and bad stress. There's no such thing as good stress or bad stress. Stress is the biological remnant of our body having like lived in more constantly dangerous situations. So our body has no way to tell. We like the only way we have to tell is our conscious mind to be like, we're not in danger. We're not in danger. So it's literally awareness. If you're in a dangerous situation, you'll know you're in a dangerous situation, and that stress will drive you to react accordingly. Like I've mentioned, I'm a martial artist, and this is why I have to set, this is why that's one of my questions, am I in danger? Because my first ingrained response is to hit something.
Yeah.
Because I want to defend myself, which is why it's one of the very first questions before I have a panic attack is, am I in danger? And so we have to know what our triggers are. It comes down to self introspection. We have to spend time getting to know ourselves, and we have to teach that to our kids. We don't teach that to our kids. We give them a set of things that we think that they should be, or that we want them to be, or that we expect from them, or that society expects from them. And we don't teach them how to self introspect and determine whether or not those things are acceptable for their being as they are, as they came to this world. So also teaching kids how to self-introspect helps them learn what their triggers are, so that when they're in those moments, they'll be able to also better determine with higher levels of awareness whether or not they're in danger and they need to react one way or another. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Like sometimes you just got to, you know, blow up and kick somebody's ass.
Yeah. So the stress management coaches, is this something that most schools have? My kids do not go to a private school. They go to a public school. I don't believe there's any type of classes that cover any of these types of things. Is this, as a parent or anybody out there that's looking for a stress management coach, where would they go to find a person like you? Is there a community of coaches that people work with? Is this something that can be done online, over the phone? How does that work?
Well, that's a good question. I fell into it. I kid you not, I just fell into it because of my past life experiences. As I grew up in a very difficult, you know, tumultuous home life and things, and as a teen, I felt that nobody listened to me. And even though from 17 to 18, literally nothing happened except I got old, I turned legal, my thoughts were still valid, the same as they were when I was a teen.
Yeah.
So, remembering that experience, I just geared my life towards learning certain things. As far as stress management coaching, Google, man. Everything, Google it. I don't know if there's a community for it. I have no idea if there's – I went and got a degree and made my – carved my own niche in life because I could give two shits about anybody
else. Yeah.
That's another thing I teach kids because a lot of – they live their lives online, right? Everything's about judgment. What does this person think? What does that person think? One of the things that I would teach in that school, and to answer that question really quickly, no, schools do not have stress management coaches. This was a very expensive private school. And they asked me to come in and do this specifically because they were having an issue with compassion amongst their students. I'm going to say it that way rather than another word.
Yeah.
But they were having an issue with students behaving compassionately amongst each other. So they asked me to come in and teach mindfulness, meditation, and stress management and compassion to the faculty, staff, and students. And they even sent me emails later, like, we miss you. Yeah. After I left.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that not being a career path for more schools to have somebody teaching that because of online, social media, the ability for people to hide behind the computer and just be mean and bully. And that's a whole different kind of stress that I didn't have to deal with as a kid. I know, you know, you probably go pushing 40, like, you know, you said you were pushing 40, like we didn't deal with that as a kid. And I just see sometimes the stress that happens first thing in the morning where it's like, oh my God, you know, so-and-so got a new pair of shoes. They got this, they have this, they're wearing that. And I'm wearing the same thing that I wore, you know, last week. And it's like, it seems stupid because, you know, we're adults, but for my daughter, that's like her world. And it's like I said, it's surprising to me that more schools haven't brought somebody in that can teach these types of things to kids if they're not being taught at home, because apparently they're not, because it's this bullying and runs rampant. It's pretty crazy.
Even at private institutions, it's compassion. Lack of compassion is an issue. Lack of reciprocity is an issue. And caring about the judgment of others, like you said, like the first thing in the morning is like, so-and-so like my thing or da 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 da. I actually had to teach lessons to kids on not caring what other people thought and not judging themselves, because it's not so much that these kids don't only care what other people think. They self-judge based on these opinions. Yeah. And they base their worth on other people's opinions. I actually had to explain to them that there's only two people on the planet every single night whose opinions matter. One of them is the person that's sleeping in the bed next to you. And the other one who's paying the bills in the house for which the bed is in. If you're sleeping alone and you're paying your own bills, tell me whose opinions matter.
Yeah.
And kids would, like, yo, their jaws would drop, their eyes would bug out. They'd be like, oh my God. Like, it never occurred to them that other people's thoughts are just thoughts. That it's not someone else's thought doesn't have to be your truth.
Yep.
And kids are not, we don't teach them this. We don't ingrain this in them. And I was blessed. I was very honored. I carved out my own position there at that school. I started out as an unpaid volunteer and I did teaching yoga, and they took me in and offered me a position doing this because they felt that it would be beneficial to the entire community. And it really was. I mean, you could see the change. My daughter saw the change in the community. She was a student at the school. So, I mean, and it was a blessing to have that opportunity and be able to just develop this ability to talk to kids.
Yeah, I think that's...
I kind of like that I'm a little bit gangster.
Yeah, no, it definitely becomes more relatable because, again, like I was telling you earlier, sometimes it's easier for kids to relate to someone that they feel they have something in common with, or, you know, somebody that's maybe came from like a harder background that can relate to those types of stresses, the stresses with money, stresses with not having certain things. But... again, it's pretty wild to me that more schools aren't adopting the same type of curriculum for kids to learn from. If people want to get a hold of you and find you and reach out to you, where can they find you if they want to talk more about stress management techniques or maybe just bringing you in their tribe so you could be that person for them to call when, hey, like, I'm having this little bit of meltdown, but I know I can talk to her.
Oh, yeah, I'm a team player like a motherfucker. you can find me on Instagram, of course, at MindfulYogiThug. I'm working on building a website for my stress management business because I am a semi-military woman, so we move around a lot. Everywhere I go, I have to reset up my entire business. So I'm working on building a website. It's mindfulyogithug.com. I also write for a magazine, and I write things about meditation and yoga, and I do interviews and articles for them as well. It's Garage Gym Life Magazine. So you can also find me on Facebook. What is it? Mindful Yogi Thug on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/@thethuglab. I'm literally the worst at self-promotion because I like to play so low key. I can barely get these words out right now.
No, but I think it's good. Like you were saying earlier, like you had this network of women that you reach out to when you're having those panic attacks. But I think like if more people know, like, hey, you know, there's this person out here who could be that ear, somebody that I can reach out to, or somebody just to get, you know, techniques or just ideas for how I can relate to my own kids or my nephews, my nieces, or the kids in the neighborhood, because it takes a tribe.
Mm-hmm. It takes raise the village. It's an entire village. And I've literally, that is a service I offered to people. Like, yo, if you just have a panic attack and you need someone to call and just help you talk you through it or text, that's something I do. That's like, because you need people like that. And sometimes not everyone can have someone in their corner like that. And I really feel like, and I'm about to get a little mushy on y'all, I really feel like my mission in this life is service. I'm a good friend to people. I'm a good person. And I don't want to see anyone suffering through the same things if I can help it.
Yeah, and I think that's really awesome. I want to just recap the technique. So it's breathe, reach out to somebody, and movement.
Check your surroundings.
Meditation through movement or just regular meditation. Am I missing any technique?
No, it's actually that simple. Self-care. All of those things that you just said is self-care. It really is that simple. Stop and breathe. Check your surroundings. Make sure you're not in danger. Choose a different reaction from your learned reactions. Take a moment. Choose a different reaction. And then if you can choose a better reaction, expend that energy elsewhere via moving meditation. And I just those four things, try to apply those. You'll have a little bit less stress in life, I promise.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming on. I like to end every episode with a parenting fail of the week. And you're a mom, so, you know, we got Marisol, we got to hear your parenting fail. What was one of your big parenting fails?
Oh, I forgot to feed my kid, man.
How did you forget to?
No, for real. So, like, I'm about to get real with you. I have multiple jobs. I wear multiple hats, right? One of my most favorite jobs is a job I work at a restaurant. It's called Fuelers. It's up here in Silverdale, Washington. We serve gluten-free vegan food. My kid comes up, and she's sitting at the bar, and she asks me for food, and I'm like an hour later, and I'm like, yo, you're going to have to wait. Like, my husband had to come in and pay me for me to make a statement for my kid. My parenting fail of the week was that I work at a restaurant and I made my kid pay for food.
Well, you know what? There's also an important lesson there because there ain't nothing free in life. You're going to have to pay.
That's right. And I was busy. I love you to death. You know I'll feed you, but I'm busy right now. I got to make this money.
I love it. Well, thank you guys for listening. And don't forget that you can subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Share it with your friends. Reach out to Marisol. Follow her on Instagram. She lifts weights. She's a mom and she's a thug. So until next week, and we will sign off. Thank you guys.